Hey, welcome to the Retro Breakdown. What's your week been like, Tom? How are you doing?
My week has been... what did I do this week?
Oh, that's a good week.
I don't know if it's a good week or not. I just don't remember what I did. I played, you know, I played a lot of Dota 2 with a buddy. We spent like all day yesterday and the day before just playing Dota 2, which we haven't done in a long time.
That's good. It's nice to catch up with a friend you haven't played with in a while.
Oh, no, I play with him weekly, but we haven't spent like 8 hours, 2 days in a row playing it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's still nice.
Yeah. what else? I played some more KOTOR.
Oh yeah. I forgot you said you were playing that. How's that going?
It's KOTOR. It's a BioWare game. I understand why a lot of people like it, and I understand why it gets the praise that it does, and I also understand why I stopped playing it multiple times.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things where I actually really like it. And thinking about it right now, I would like to go back and play more. But at the same time, I don't think I would ever recommend anybody play it in 2024.
Is it just because it's
old
dated?
And clunky? Yeah, it's old and clunky. Like so the fact that they're remaking it makes sense.
Are they?
I don't know. Whatever. They've said they are and aren't like a couple times over the last few years.
It's happening. It's canceled. It's not canceled. It's uncanceled. We're still working on it. It's canceled. We laid everybody off. It's not canceled.
But it's also Disney and Star Wars. And
yeah,
there's a lot
that's
of
true.
Money to be made there. So it will happen. It will happen eventually.
You're right. It will happen eventually.
it's a machine that prints money. They just have to figure out how much money they want to spend before it starts printing money.
Dude. It's Disney, it's Star Wars, and it's a remake of a successful franchise.
Yeah, it should be good.
Like, it's good. It's happening.
They just have to decide. So I feel like they're just waiting to see what is worth, like, how much do they want to spend on this, right? Do they need it to be the best looking game of all time, or is it okay if it looks good enough? Like, can it look like Helldivers 2? Is that all right?
Well, and like, which group of people is going to survive long enough to make it? You know, like, how many rounds of layoffs do we have to go through before they actually keep people employed for long enough to make a video game?
Yeah, and most importantly, how can we create ultimate editions around it?
Oh, yes.
Because you gotta get someone to spend, like... What's the new Ubisoft, or is it... I can't remember. I think it's the next Star Wars game. They announced the price. Outlaws, actually, now that we're thinking about Star Wars.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I think that there's like three editions of it, and one of them's like $150. But it's like a single-player game just to give you early access. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I think it's a single-player game anyways. I understand paying for early access in a multiplayer game. I like it, but I've done it before in a multiplayer game that I want to play because those extra 3 or 4 days make a big difference, right?
Sure.
Especially if you're thinking that it's going to be a big launch. And I mean, it helps with their servers, blah, blah, blah. They make
a ton
of money.
Yeah.
Whatever. But a single player game, you know, I don't know. I'm not so sure. I got roped into it one time and it was a mistake. So maybe they're just hoping more people do that.
I used to get collector's editions of games back when it was basically like a box of random crap that came with it.
Well, yeah, but collector's editions now don't have any of the stuff.
Right.
It's like, here's
it's
a digital soundtrack.
Digital.
Here's a digital soundtrack that's stuck on your console. Great. And, I mean, sometimes you can download them. I know that. And you can actually technically put a pen drive in, like, a PS4 or 5 and get the soundtrack off of it.
Yeah, the reality is, like, that's probably a better way to distribute the soundtrack than say, a CD in time. But that's that's still actually not how people listen to music these days.
I wouldn't mind if it was like that, but it would be better if it was something that you could download to your computer. How often have you booted up your console and jammed out?
I haven't done that since I first got my PS3.
I did it with the PS1. This is a PlayStation black disc. Of course, that would be the wrong CD to be putting it in. But I'm just saying I used the CD player feature of the PS1 a few times.
Yeah, I uploaded some music to to my PS3 and amusingly used the custom music feature of, I want to say, NHL 10?
Sure, yeah.
Like 2010?
Yeah, yeah.
And had it playing, like, the theme song to The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya every time I scored a goal.
That's kind of cool. That's fun.
So, like, there was stuff like that going on, but then, like, that's my strongest...
I wonder if you can even do that anymore.
Not really.
No.
I think that, like...
Too many licensing issues?
Yeah, I think sports games still let you do, like, custom walkout music, but within their preset choices. And then they license a bunch of music that you can use. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, the big ones. They have, like, a whole bunch of music licensed, but...
Well, I mean, they have it for their games anyways.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, okay, reach into the filing cabinet.
But I don't know if you actually can do custom anymore.
You know, speaking of big games, what was the Ubisoft game that was like where a quadruple A?
This you is mean, a are you a. talking about Skull and Bones?
Yeah, Skull and Bones, because it's a complete experience, so it's you get an extra A.
Yeah.
I also saw something about the, what's the Embracer Group? The one that's like buying up companies and then just selling them?
Yep.
Cool. They said something about how the $70 game isn't sustainable in their eyes.
Right. It needs to be more.
I think they were saying less because they were using Helldivers as an example because Helldivers is like $50. And I was like, yeah,
really?
This is what I think. This makes sense though, because think about, it's like the Switch. Like the Switch games don't look that impressive compared to, I don't know, like some big, what's a new big budget? Rise of the Ronin maybe? Is that a cool looking game?
Sure. Call it Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate. Well, Baldur's Gate is a weird example because...
Yeah, I know.
But yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if the next generation of games, they just kind of look the same forever.
Yeah, we've kind of hit a point... Well, we've hit a point of diminishing returns, right?
Well, once where AI it's like, can
it's,
do it.
It's not that games can't look better. It's that, like, making games more visually realistic at this point requires more and more and more and more man hours and attention to detail and talent and skill to make smaller and smaller and smaller changes.
I still stand by, I'd rather have better physics engines. I still want to play the open world game that's destructible, like Grand Theft Auto, where you actually blow up the the overpass to solve a problem. And the overpass can even stay broken for a certain amount of time or so. Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. That's where I'd rather have resources go. Of course, that's just as complicated and difficult, I realize.
But like the version of realism that we're getting now in the last 5 years or so is, look, when you ride your horse through the cold area, the horse is testicles shrink.
I don't know if that's real or not.
That was a real thing in Red Dead Redemption 2, where they were like, look, the horse has like swinging testicles when you ride it around, but then when you go through the snowy area, they contract because it's cold. Realism.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about Red Dead Redemption 2, but I seriously don't care about it. I don't like it.
I didn't care about either of them, and I just chalked that up to, like, two things. One, I don't particularly care for Rockstar's, like, games.
I thought I really liked Grand Theft Auto, but I didn't play 4 at all, or 5.
So I skipped all the early games. Like, 3 and Vice City and San Andreas, the ones that everybody, like, I would say arguably, like, the peak of the series, and like when it really like hit its sort of apex and became really, really popular.
It's weird because Grand Theft Auto 3 was a life-changing moment for me. Not okay, life-changing, a little extreme, but it's an idea that it's something that I always think back to as like one of those pivotal moments in my gaming history where it's like, wow, this was such a cool thing to, because I spent 8 hours just driving around before completing the first mission. I didn't know how to save the game because I hadn't unlocked the save feature yet. because you're supposed to like follow a car and go to your hideout, and instead of doing that, I just drove the fuck around. Right. And it was like, I had to Google it. I went to Game FAQs, like, how do I save the game? But there were tons of posts asking how to save the game because a lot of people got the freedom to drive their car and they just took off.
Yeah. This is why, like, you hear game devs now where it's like, oh my God, you have no idea how much work it is to get people to look at something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I don't want to look at it. We give them one job and they'll do anything other than that one job.
So it's weird though, because when it's done really well, it's just seamless, right? And when it's not, you're kind of like, but the Grand Theft Auto one is a perfect experience. I'm glad they let it happen that way.
But so
I liked that game. I never actually finished the story. I did the first and second island, and then Vice City came out, and I loved Vice City. I did absolutely everything in Vice City, and then San Andreas, I was hyped for it, and I did like, I don't know, maybe 20% of the game, and then stopped playing it. And
did you play 4?
I played a lot of 4, but that's because I was also kind of into achievements, because I played through the game, had an okay time with it, then went back and got all the achievements.
Gotcha. 4 is the only one I actually ever played start to finish.
Yeah, Nico Bellic is a real whiner.
I think that growing up, there were a lot of games like that. It's not that I grew up in like a really traditional household. I wouldn't call it that. But my mom did have an issue with like particular games.
Yeah.
She got very caught up in the whole like satanic panic of the 80s. When I started playing Final Fantasy and I told her it was an RPG, she like tried to ban me from playing it because she had...
The news said something about Dungeons and Dragons.
The news said that someone killed their parents in their sleep, and it was Dungeons and Dragons' fault.
Hey, let's not talk about the millions that have died because of religion. But one person killed their parents.
The thing is, we never
sleep.
Went to church and never talked about religion.
I'm just saying in general, the idea of like a piece of media that's spurring a whole ton of death.
Yeah.
But, you know, one kid killed their parents because they were unhinged.
Yeah. And they happened to have this hobby. So let's blame that.
I mean, it's sort of like when you look back at Columbine, they were like, yeah, he played video games and was listing all the games. And they looked through his games and one of his most played or whatever was like Dance Dance Revolution or something.
Yeah. But he had Doom, though.
But it was on the shelf.
But everybody played Doom. Everybody played Doom. Only one person, well, technically two people, shot up Columbine High School. Like, I don't think there's a correlation there. But honestly, it was like there were so many video games that like when there was a game that my mom had a particular problem with, like Grand Theft Auto, like Doom, like, you know, whatever else, it was easy enough to just be like, fine, I don't need to play that. There's a zillion other things I can play. Like, I didn't have, like, a strong pull to play a lot of those, and so didn't end up even finding out about any of them or seeing what they were like until well into my 20s.
Yeah, I don't think the series would have had as big of an impact if I hadn't played 3 right when it first came out. Now, I would understand why a parent wouldn't want you to play Grand Theft Auto, because we were, how old when it came out, like 15 or something?
Not old enough.
Yeah. So I understand why people wouldn't have been allowed to play Grand Theft Auto for sure. But I don't think I would have, like, so 4 was neat because it had some fun physics to mess around with when you were driving your car. Like,
oh,
it felt
boy,
good.
Did it.
Because it felt good to drive just the car around in that game. I guess that's what I'm, that's what.
Yes and no.
Well, it was a mess, but it was fun.
I get, right?
Like, it kind of had some of that Bethesda vibe going.
Like, every time
it.
You try to take a corner on a motorcycle and you just fall.
Whee!
Like.
But, dude, tell me using the power brake or the handbrake wasn't fun in the car to whip around corners and stuff.
Like, it was. I just was never good at it. But I came at it from a very, like, arcade racing perspective.
Yeah, that's what it kind of felt like, but they pretended it wasn't.
It wasn't until years later like years later, like within the last 5 years, that I for the first time played a racing game where I was, or like a driving game of any kind, where it's like, you know what? The accelerator button isn't something you just hold down for the
wrong,
whole game.
Wrong. That's just wrong. You're spreading lies. That's misinformation. You hold the button down the entire time.
The whole
never
time.
Let go. Even when you're braking, you're still holding that goddamn button down.
Right. Yeah. It never comes up. Now, this is a really weird story, but we met one of Jesse's friends in Korea. Mm-hmm. She lives in Gwangju, and we went down to visit her, and I was meeting her for like the first time. And we met her and her husband, who had a PS5 and Gran Turismo 7 with a wheel and pedal setup.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, cool. This is awesome. And then I tried to actually play Gran Turismo 7, which bills itself as, you know, quote unquote, the real driving simulator. And straight up tried to just go through the game like pedal to the metal the whole time and could
and
not control that car for shit.
That's why Gran Turismo sucks.
I was like, do you have, like, fuck this, do you have burnout?
Yeah, right, exactly. Where's the game where I just slam the pedal to the floor?
Yes. And leave it there.
You let up a little bit. Okay.
And then when you crash into something, it's good because the crash looks really cool and that's what you wanted.
Yeah, or you're like, wow, that turn's really sharp. How could I possibly make that corner?
I must have to start turning earlier.
Yep. That's how you turn. You turn earlier. You don't slow down.
Oh, man.
That is how a racing game works.
So, yeah, the TLDR, I was never good at driving in Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah, me neither. I mean, I had to get good enough to do all the things, like all the side missions and everything to get, you know, the perfect star ratings and all that, blah, blah, blah.
But I
wouldn't say I was good at it.
It was in that era of, like, janky open world physics.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, you could just go to YouTube and watch videos of people, like, you know, there's that, like, one swing set.
Yep, that's my favorite swing set in any video game, which is a very specific call out.
It is, but it's a really good swing set.
That sucker. Because
you just position yourself in a particular area, and then you get launched up to space.
Yeah, because the one leg wobbles, but, like, the physics wants it to go back to where it is, and then once it finally decides it's had enough of your shenanigans, it just launches your ass across the map. God, that was so much fun.
Yeah, acceleration maximum.
We spent hours playing with that. I don't know how or why. It's such a weird thing to think about.
I watched so many compilation videos of, like, trick shots using that swing set.
I like the idea of it being called a trick shot when it was really just someone ramming their face into a wall for hours until it landed in a cool spot.
Yeah, it's true. It's super true. It's like, let's do this over and over and over and over again and record all of it. And look, the car landed on top of a skyscraper.
Yeah, because we had a bunch of times where, like, the car would land in a really awesome way, or like it did a rolling thing. But then when it stopped, it was positioned between two cars where you would park on the side of the street.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It was totally planned. And it was not just 10 hours of us driving into a swing set.
Yeah,
waiting for
absolutely.
The physics to do the thing.
Yep.
But they're trick shots for sure.
Some of that. So it wasn't all using the swing set. Like some of it was like clearly very well planned and orchestrated.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No,
but
I know
yeah,
what you're talking
anything
about.
Using the swing set was like, those physics are so out of control. There is no way you did it on purpose. No.
Yeah. You have an idea of where you think it's going to go. And then sometimes it wouldn't even go in that direction.
I mean, you got to figure like you're talking about like a subpixel. Like a subpixel difference on the screen being worth like the radius has to be like 10 city blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? In a game where you can't see the pixels to help guide you.
Correct.
Man, driving like the car damage and that was fun. It was just fun to see like the I don't know. I love that feeling. I haven't played a game like that in a long time. Because like I said, I skipped out on 5 for the most part. But 5 just felt like 4.
I was going to say that like I actually played 4 start to finish.
Yeah.
And was mostly able to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when 5 came out, I was like, eh. And I played it. I was in Lansing at the time, and our mutual friend had bought it and insisted that I play it.
Yeah.
And so I borrowed it from him after he finished it in like 4 days, as he's wont to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he likes to bust through the story.
Yeah. And then I had it for like 3 weeks and got through like, I don't know, like 10, 15 missions.
Yeah,
I didn't.
How much I played.
There's 3 characters in that game, and I didn't get to the 3rd one.
Oh, maybe I played a. What? Who are the?
There's the. So there's.
Oh no, I got all 3. I definitely played a little bit of
the. The last
characters.
One is, I think his name is Trevor, and he's the weird meth head guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Who yells at everybody.
I'm pretty sure I got to him, and then I don't know if I ever controlled him though. Now that I'm saying it, maybe he was just in the game. I don't.
He like showed up in a cutscene, but not.
Yeah, I feel like I got to a mission where I controlled them, and then I just turned it off and never turned it on again.
Yeah, and it was one of those games where, like, it's rare that you start playing a game and you're like, I don't like this, and I'm actively going to stop playing it.
Well, it's especially more, when it's one that you think you like it. Like, you have in your memory, oh, I like this series.
Yeah.
Or I like this style of games.
So what happens more often is it usually is just like, you turn it off one day, and then the next day it's like, nah, I don't feel like playing that today. I'm going to try something else.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And then you just never, ever, ever boot it up again, ever.
Yeah, I gave it to Kyle. I was like, yeah, you can have it. You can try playing. I don't even know if he ever turned it on. and we both liked Grand Theft Auto. Like, we liked the idea of the game. We played the other ones, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. So I wonder if 6 will have any magic for me.
I don't know. I mean,
I guess we're a couple years out. Right?
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll find out in like 2027,
with the PS6.
Yeah, that makes sense actually.
Grand Theft Auto
6, PS6.
Oh wow, true.
Speaking of PS6, apparently Persona 6 is going to be green.
Okay.
That's the only thing I have to report about that. It makes sense because they've all been like really, like they've all been coated with really strong primary colors.
Yeah.
But they've already gone through blue, yellow, and red. So green was
nice.
Kind of the next most obvious choice.
Maybe I like Persona 3 the best because it's blue.
That's fair. Reload's been really good. Jesse and I are going to binge the crap out of it when we're done recording here.
How far are you guys now? What month?
We are in September, I think.
All right.
So it
how
starts,
many hours?
How many hours? About
have you played
60 something?
Yeah. Because it starts in
April.
May. Okay, I was gonna say May. Yeah, April.
Yeah, the beginning of April.
But April isn't April just like a tutorial month?
For the most part, I mean, you're sort of on rails. It does start to open up towards the end of the month where you actually can start doing social link stuff.
That's my memory, yeah. What is Golden Week?
What is Golden Week? It's a week in Japan that has like 3 national holidays back to back.
I know what it is. When is it?
Oh, it's in like May, I think.
Yeah, because I remember that being a part of the game towards like when the game starts to open up, right? So it's got to be, April to May, yeah. Because like they talk about that in Persona, right?
Yeah.
That was the.
Well, yeah, because you're going through like every day,
right?
You're playing through every day, and you either have school or you don't. And so when you don't have school, it's always a big thing where it's like today is respect for the elderly day. There's no school.
No school. Woo! Which seems exciting, but you know, Saturday.
Yeah,
you just go to school on Saturday.
That's correct. That is correct.
I oftentimes think whenever I'm playing a game like Persona and I'm looking at these student schedules and stuff, and I think how did anyone in Japan play through Dragon Quest 7?
They just stopped going to school for a while.
How did anyone play through anything?
they literally just stop. Like, that was the whole thing. A new Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy game would come out, and the country would just shut down for a couple of days.
Is that actually true? I think it was probably
exaggerated, but like, I do think that there was like a larger than usual number of callouts.
It's like the yen shortage about Space Invaders is not real. Like, they said it was because the game was so popular, but there's a lot of other factors, like in terms of how the coins are being produced in the country and other stuff. But then it was like, it's because of Space Invaders.
Right.
So that was not real. I always wondered about the Dragon Quest thing, because I heard that growing up as well, that it was like, oh, it's the biggest deal in Japan. It's like a national holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they ever actually declared any days for it. But I do think that there's a kernel of truth to it in the sense that, like, yeah, there were a bunch of people that just didn't go to work that day.
Sure.
Which, you know, is more or less believable. Heck yeah. It's like,
I've skipped stuff to play a game before.
I would say, like, in terms of like the broader culture, there's like a higher than usual number of like callouts on the Monday after the Super Bowl. Right, because everyone's up late and they're drinking and they're partying and they're just like, nah, I'm hungover. I'm not going to work today.
Yeah.
When that's not technically a holiday. Because the other comparison points would be like the day after New Year's or something like that. But New Year's actually is a holiday, so that doesn't really count. I don't know. I've never seen anything disproving it, but I can imagine that it's not like the whole country shuts down. It's just
I like the idea of it being 100% real. So I'm definitely not trying to take that imagery away from you.
Of course. No, I heard the stories just like you did, and I just haven't ever seen anything refuting it, so in my mind it's still true.
Yeah, I like that. Now that's solid logic. I like that. Hey, did you see anything about Princess Peach at all?
Princess Peach Showtime?
Yeah.
I have seen a couple people playing it on Twitch.
You know, it's a nice little game. It feels like a good feel game.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it looks like a good feel game.
It is a good feel video game for sure.
I mean, the only thing about it that doesn't say good feel game to me is that it's not made of yarn or paper mache.
Well, but it kind of is still sort of there because it's got the whole play aesthetic. So some of the stages are, you know, like cardboard cutouts, like you'd see.
Okay. I haven't actually seen that. That's fun.
Yeah, so it definitely even has that to it, but not to the extent of yarn, the yarn feel of late. But I liked it. I didn't play.
Maybe a little cardboard, maybe a little paper mache, some wood standees.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fun.
Leticia played most of it. I just helped with some boss rush because she wanted to get everything. She's like, "This is I don't want to fight the boss without taking damage." And I always laugh that the good feel games have it's like a Kirby game where it's chill to play it, but then it's like, "Oh, do you want 100% it?"
Yeah.
You sure you want 100% this video game?
It's like the game takes the training weights off.
Yeah,
like, and pops its neck back and forth.
And this game's nowhere near as difficult as like some of the Kirby 100%. It's, in fact, the bosses to do it without taking damage is not that challenging, but it was more challenging than the rest of the game by a wide margin.
Yeah, I believe that. That seems to be not just for good feel games, but like for Mario in general.
True.
It feels like the difficulty curve is like mostly, I don't want to say flat, but like maybe like a 5 to 10 degree incline, like right all the way through the end credits. And then there is post game stuff and completion stuff where it just starts to ramp up immediately.
Yeah.
Like, shoot straight up in the air.
Yeah. There's, like, a few spikes here and there in a Mario game, right? Yeah. Where it's a pretty steady difficulty increase that with a spike here or there. And then you get to the end and it just straight up. It's just vertical.
Yeah, exactly.
For the majority of players.
Yeah, that's totally how it feels. You're right about there being a couple of spikes, because I feel like every game has that one level where it's like, oh, God.
Well, especially because you're kind of in this mindset where it's a Mario platformer, you know, you're chilling. You're just kind of enjoying the sights, having the occasional jump that's like, oh, I had to pay a little more attention to that. But then you get that stage where you die a bunch. You're like, what the hell's wrong with me?
I can pinpoint exactly the one, like, I hate this death stage in Super Mario World.
Which one?
Butterbridge 1. Butterbridge 1 is an auto-scroller.
Yep.
Where you are constantly jumping back and forth between really thin platforms. They're like maybe, I'm going to say like the width of like two Marios. For scale.
My first thought was thinking about using Skyrim as like a currency exchange, like the width of two Mario is the cost of two Skyrims.
Two Skyrims, yes.
It makes about as much sense as our measurement system.
But I mean, it's basically the same way that our measurement system came into being. It's like, let's compare it to a thing that people just have. It's like, it's three of these. My foot is about this long. So this is now a standard unit of measurement. Anyway, Butterbridge 1 has platform. It's an auto-scroller, and it has platforms that you have to jump back and forth between because they're like the seesaw platforms.
Yep.
But not in the sense that it's one continuous platform that like seesaws back and forth. It's more of like a weight scale.
Sure. And it's where like
you step
two.
On the one and it goes down and the one next to it goes up.
Yeah.
So you can't stay on it for too long because they'll like start to imbalance each other.
And
but you,
you
also can't go through them quickly because you're auto scrolling.
Ah. Yes.
And the platforms are really small.
I don't think I've ever played an auto-scroller level and said, thank God this is an auto-scroller.
It's true.
Like, I don't know why they're always in Mario games other than the fact that they're just in Mario games.
I mean, it's requiring you to do a different thing.
I don't mind it. So Mario Wonder had a few that were kind of fun.
Yeah.
Just because, like, they added some different stuff to them to make it a little more interesting.
Sure.
And I don't mind that. But I could always say there could be one less auto scroller in pretty much any game that has more than two.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. Like, I understand that, like, it's kind of the same deal as a water level. Like, it is asking you to play the game a bit differently for like one stage.
Yeah. Water levels don't bother me nearly as much. Especially in like Mario.
But it's like you're going a little bit slower. And you have to approach this differently.
Yes.
Whereas, like, a lot of difficult obstacles in a regular level, you can kind of just hop off of and get through fairly quickly if you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where here, it's like, no, you have to stay here and manage it for a bit. And that's what the level is you have to, like, you have to be in this area and managing your position while you wait for the stage to progress.
Yeah, no, I'm not even saying it's a bad design choice. I think for me, the part that gets me the most is when I die and and I have to do it again.
Yes. And like, because what is the one thing you want to do when you die is you want to run back to where you were as fast as possible. Cause you know, what's
try
coming.
It again. Yeah.
And in an auto scroller, you can't speed along the process of getting back to where you were.
What was the game we played that had the train stage? Was it Little Nemo?
Little Nemo did have a train stage. I don't know if it was an auto-scroller, though. It was an auto-scroller.
No, it was an auto-scroller.
Yeah, it definitely was, yes.
Yeah, like, that was something. Yeah, it had that insane spike pit, or the trap that tried to squish you.
Yes.
And you see it coming, and you're just like, what?
there are, in fact, multiple bits in Little Nemo on that auto scroller that are just like blind fuck you pits, like traps. Don't go this way. Whoops, you're squished now.
Oops.
Oh man. I don't know.
That the auto scrollers are they're you know, Mega
I understand
Man
why
Mega
they're
Man
there.
Has none.
Huh?
Mega Man doesn't have any auto scrollers, right?
Mostly.
That we've played.
You're mostly correct.
That we've played, okay?
No. You're mostly correct. Technically, there is a small auto scroller section in 2.
Oh, yeah.
When the dragon pops up.
Yeah, nope. I wouldn't count that.
It kind of is. It's moving on its own, but it's only for like 3 seconds.
It is technically an auto scroller. You are correct, but it's like the boss intro to spook you.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of that counts.
That counts, yeah. Mega Man superior to Mario?
So before we get into the why we wars, that will make sense to you apparently soon.
You know, it's funny because when you were playing this, I said I wanted to get to the future games because I wanted to hear some of the sound clips and from an OC remix song that I liked.
And then it turns out they're from the cartoon.
Yeah, because I was asking Kyle, I was like, Kyle, wait, is this from any of the games? Like, no, those are from the cartoon. I was like, okay, thanks, Encyclopedia, because I couldn't have figured that out. Kyle's basically my Wikipedia.
It's really helpful to have someone like that. We're lucky to have like several of those in like Discord and the stream.
True. With, anytime like, you're playing a game, you can just ask a question like, oh yeah, here you go.
Yeah, absolutely. it's very convenient. So a couple weeks ago, we got a message from Swoggles. Cue the music, I guess. It's not really a question. It's just something I wanted to read out because it's a nice message. We were talking about like, you know, taking. I was talking about taking Korean classes and just sort of like getting into learning stuff later in life.
Sure.
During like a non-traditional, like not when you'd normally be taking classes or doing like things that you associate with college. So Swoggle says, hello, I just wanted to thank you for the discussion y'all had regarding taking classes for yourself and people who change life direction when they're older, being a good story path in life. I've been with the same company since I was 19. I'm 36 now. I got news in December that they're laying off my entire state in 2025. Since then, I've been trying to take classes to learn SAS, which is a programming language thing.
Okay.
And get certified in it, and it's been kind of overwhelming. My entire adult life has been framed around this one company, and in a year, I'll just have to find something else. The building has been like a second home, so it's kind of surreal. And hearing this little discussion gave me some hope, so I wanted to thank you for that.
Aww. That's awesome.
It's nice to feel like
our dumb ramblings
are... It's nice to feel like our silly ramblings when we just feel like we're talking to each other about whatever is actually like having an impact on somebody.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. not that you have to find a new job, obviously.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
That part's not awesome.
And there's a PS here in which they list the company, but then ask me not to share it, so I'm not going to.
Okay.
But, yeah, knowing who it is, fuck those guys anyway.
Send your collective fuck yous to this mystery company, please.
Please do. All right. So, this is weird, because the next Mega Man we were going to play was supposed to be X.
Fuck off, Rockman Mega World is awesome.
Is that what his name is in Japan?
Yeah.
Rockman Mega World.
Yes.
That's really good.
The more we play every Mega Man game we play, the more I hate the name Mega Man. I wish it was just Rockman.
Rockman is so good.
It's so much better.
And it actually translates well.
Yeah. I mean, like, it fits in the sense that it would be perfectly fine. It would have been fine.
It would have totally been fine.
But I guess he's not a rock.
But he does, like, he rocks.
He does rock, hence the
name. Sometimes he uses rocks!
True. The Wily Wars was way more fun than I thought it was going to be.
It was so much more fun than I thought.
I've been down on Mega Man, kind of like, yeah, whatever, I'm sort of sick of Mega Man. I don't even really like Mega Man that much, blah, blah, blah. But playing this game, I had a lot of fun. I genuinely had fun going through the first three games. A, because it made me realize how shit Mega Man 2 is in the second half.
Oh boy. Yeah, let's get into it.
Like, Mega Man 2, fantastic music, incredible opening sequence, although on the Wily Wars, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Fun. The Robot Master Sage is fun. Mm-hmm. Neat power-up, yes. Sort of, although you never use any of them, because why would you use anything other than Metal Blade? Metal Man.
Yep.
But
yep.
The second half of Mega Man 2 is utter trash.
It's the Wily stages in Mega Man 2 are the worst Mega Man stages that we have played.
Yeah.
It is the worst section of any Mega Man game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of what we've seen so far.
It's not fun.
It is consistently awful.
I really think that the people that have fond memories of Mega Man 2 as being the greatest Mega Man game probably just played the Robot Master stages.
Because those are good and memorable.
Yeah, they're very memorable. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in all those stages.
Yeah.
And again, the music is insane.
The music is outstanding. The Genesis really, really, really is trying.
No, the Wily Wars music is bad. It's not bad, like, in and of itself, but when compared to the source material, it's bad, for the most part.
And this is strange, because normally this discourse is, like, Genesis music versus SNES music.
Right.
But right now, we're doing Genesis music versus NES music, and the Genesis loses that, too, and it's not close.
What it reminds me of is when they port an old game to current systems, and it's a mess, and you're like, what did you do?
Yeah.
Like, why is this run so much worse? And it's because, you know, it feels like they just took the code, the sound, dumped it into the Yamaha sound font,
yep.
And then was like, eh, it's close enough. Yeah, some of the notes are literally missing, but who cares?
Yeah.
Now, the Wily Tower music, new music,
was not
good.
Bad. But it also did not sound like Mega Man music.
No, but I mean, Wily's Tower was a wild experience in and of itself.
Realistically, some of the music in that game So, I would say, like, the rarer occasion was when I would get into a stage and I'm like, oh,
this sounds good.
This arrangement of this song is not bad.
Yeah, sorry, it's not bad.
It's not bad. There were a couple that I would say were good.
I mean, there's a lot of weird things from when they brought this over. Like, so Woodman, the reason you couldn't jump over his leaves is because Woodman is way bigger. So his leaf attack is way bigger. So you have to do a perfect jump to dodge his attack, which is why you're like, what is going on?
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
I mean.
No, I know what you mean. It makes perfect sense. Yes.
Yeah. I was so confused by that, because I'm like, I'm getting this really close. Like, I'm sure it can be better. It's not pixel perfect, but, like, it feels like there's a lot less room for error than I'm used to, and I keep getting my toes clipped by the leaf shield.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of weird things like that, or how Proto Man just kind of looks weird. Like, he looks wrong, almost.
I mentioned this before, but, like, one of the most iconic things about Mega Man is his, like, running and jumping animations.
Yeah.
Which they did not nail.
No, they didn't. I love the ending, like, of Wily Wars when he's on the ground and Mega Man is supposed to just be, like, slowly walking towards him, and then his spaceship comes and takes him away. He just does, like, a little foot movement thing. Like, he's not picking up his feet and just kind of using his toes to pull himself
forward.
Oh,
yeah, he's just, like, scooching.
It looks
scoot, 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 scoot.
So stupid.
No, he's just like just running left to right, which is the whole thing that you do in Mega Man, is just running through the stage. Like, it's such a it really put into focus how much they just nailed it the first time.
Yeah.
With the very first like animation, the sprite animation of him running, it's like it's so perfect, it's so kinetic. And you get to Wily Wars, and like the Genesis version of this, he just kind of looks like he's power walking or like stomping. Yeah. He doesn't look like he's running. He looks like he is like stomping through the stage like he's mad.
And maybe he's mad. He's like, I already did this. Why the hell am I back?
We should probably point out, for those who don't know what Mega Man the Wily Wars is, it is a remake of Mega Man 1, 2, and 3
mm-hmm.
on the Genesis, which apparently this was a Sega Channel exclusive, right?
In North America, yeah.
In North America. Much like Alien Soldier, mm-hmm. which I'm starting to understand why Sega started to lose the console war, as like 2 years into its lifespan, all of its best games were relegated to the mid-90s internet.
To be fair, this was like the end of the Genesis, right? 1995? Like,
yeah.
The Genesis has been out since, what, 89 or something?
90, I think. Well, 89 maybe in Japan.
I don't remember for sure. I just know that this is, like, we're talking like a year later than Nintendo 64 is coming out, right?
Yeah.
So it's the end of the Genesis on the Sega Channel, and it just, no one in America has played this, except for the 20 people that had the Sega Channel, or obviously if you've, you know, downloaded an emulator or bought the card or something.
Right.
But I mean, in 1995, very few people were able to play this, and it's too bad that this and Alien Soldier were not put on carts here.
They could have, like, they would be so much more, like, integral
yeah.
to video game history. Like, Alien Soldier, derail here, because
no,
we never
okay.
do that on this no. podcast.
What? No.
Alien Soldier remains, like, maybe the most technically impressive 16-bit game I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean 68,000 Heart on Fire.
Yes. Yes. It's just like, it is such a flex. Everything that happens in that game is just laser focused at making you go like, whoa, 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 holy wow, whoa.
I booted that game up after finishing Wily Wars, and I forgot that the opening sequence is like 3 minutes of scrolling text for the story dump.
I forgot about that too.
I was reading it and I was like,
none
I don't...
of which comes up ever again.
No, well, I was going through and I was like, wait, who's what character is this? I was like, oh my God, if I was trying to pay attention to this, I would have had to read the auto scroller again because I have no idea what I read.
Evidently, I think we established this when we actually did Alien Soldier, but I think there are actual like post boss cutscenes in the Japanese version that just got
yes.
cut here.
Yeah. Yeah, and some stuff in the middle, too, I want to say that there was more story that they were like, hey, who cares? It's going on the Sega Channel.
Yeah.
For Mega Driver's Custom.
So, like, the fact that Wily Wars is like a sort of Genesis remake of 1, 2, and 3, that's cool. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised at the degree to which they really didn't change anything at all.
No,
in 1,
no.
2, and 3. Like, you think of the way remakes are now, and it's like, oh, we're going to make the game, but there were some things in the old games that were kind of dumb, so we're going to make those a little bit better. We're going to, rethink that a bit and make that a little bit different, and hopefully it'll be better now because that was either broken or unintended or just wasn't a good decision.
Yeah.
Not Wily Wars.
Well, it was. They don't care.
They don't care. Like, it's broken. It's still broken. RushJet is still the most, busted power up ever to exist in a video game.
Hop on it, fly around.
Yes. Do you want to do the level, or would you like to turn the level design off?
You know what? I appreciate it.
So, you know what? I used it quite a bit. I looked at some of those fucking rooms with Yoku blocks over spike pits, nah. And I was like, I would like to turn the level off. Thank you.
It's just accessibility options, all right?
It is. It totally is. It totally is.
You still want to finish the video game, but you don't want to deal with that shit? That's
like,
fine.
Metal Blade is still, like, the best weapon that Mega Man has ever had in anything.
Okay, once you beat the first three games, you open up Wily's Tower. Tower is insanely cool because you pick whatever weapons you want from the first three games and whatever power-ups you want.
Yep.
I will say it seemed like Metal Blade was slightly rebalanced in the tower to not have infinite ammo. Mostly infinite ammo, but not actually infinite ammo. Because in Mega Man 2, you tried that. I was watching you play, and you fought that one boss three times, and you still had a third of your...
third of it left. I could have done it two more times and been fine.
And in the Wily Tower, you go through it a little bit faster than that. So they rebalance it for the new content a teeny tiny bit.
There's also a good number of things that are immune to it.
True, true. Just bounces right off, which is always goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, so Wily Tower is basically, I'm going to call it like half of a Mega Man game.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's
got
roughly
a lot of replayability.
Yeah, it's roughly half of a new Mega Man game that unlocks after you beat 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
which
you have to...
Can you imagine how few people actually saw Wily Tower? All right, like, so...
Yeah, it's already a rare experience to have played Wily Wars,
at
period.
All. So, right? Like, take the proportion of people who, like, had a Genesis, right? So there's your starting point.
It's connected to the internet.
Now shrink that down to the number of people who had the internet. Now shrink it further to the number of people who actually signed up for the Sega Channel.
Well, yeah, it's people who have the internet and that are not just doing something on the computer.
Right, yeah. Who actually have the internet and have decided to connect it to their Sega Genesis.
Right. Yeah. Tell you what, though, the people that did were really happy.
And then you shrink that down further to the people who, like, actually wanted to play Mega Man on the Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who actually went and were like, hey, I'm going to play the Wily Wars. And then shrink that down further to the people who were so committed to doing that they beat 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. And then they...
Then you can play Wily Tower.
I don't know how Sega Channel worked. I don't know if you downloaded if you could get the manual. We looked it up, but I don't remember anymore. And could you imagine you finish the first three games thinking that's all it is, and then it unlocks a whole nother game?
Yeah.
That must have been so cool.
Yeah, no, like, that must have felt like magic.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is before the era where there's, like, a zillion stories on the internet saying, like, hey, Mega Man Remake introduces new content. And you hear about that, like, 6 months before it comes out.
I'm so sorry. I have to interrupt you for a second and derail this about Sega Channel a little bit more. Because I looked it up on the Wayback Machine. They had a website. I sent you the link.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was a subscription service that rotated.
Yes.
But look how short that rotation is.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 2 weeks. That's wild.
And the stuff on here is inconsistent in its quality level. Not the Valus that we played.
No, no.
That's Valus 1.
Yes.
I think.
I don't know. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop the conversation. I was just kind of confused. I didn't realize that it was like on a 2 week rotation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
It's
like,
well,
this is available for like a 2 week period of time.
Yes.
Which then means that someone would have had to have beaten Mega Man 1, 2, and 3 and then gotten to Wily Tower in a 2 week period.
Yes. Yeah, because I don't know what happens afterwards. Like, does it just stop working?
I have no idea.
Like, I don't know. I don't know how.
I can't imagine you can download them.
I just want to say I can't imagine how it works. And there's literally a button on the left side of the screen that says how it works.
You are correct.
They knew 1997. Well, I suppose it was earlier than this, but this is when the Wayback Machine is bookmarked from.
Oh, God.
This is a very, very Wayback Machine. This is a very Wayback Machine image also. Like, yeah.
It also says, then wabam, you've got games galore. The amazing wonders of technology.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's lingo I don't remember.
What?
Okay, our pals in Canada, England, South America, and Europe don't depend on the satellite. They use what is called a head-end server. It reads the CD-ROM and pipes it to the home from their location. Not as highfalutin, but it sure does the trick. So now that you've become the techno-wad about Sega Channel...
The techno-wad?
You've become the techno-wad about Sega Channel. You should... capital G, get hooked in.
Look at the hooked in. Look at the get hooked in below it.
No, I know. I see it.
It's all like different sizes.
But I see it.
All I see is okay.
This is painfully 90s.
I love it so much.
This is painfully 90s. I am taking damage from this.
Oh, okay, okay. Sega Channel even provides the help manuals, which I think is the instruction manual. I've never heard an instruction manual called the help manual, but maybe.
It might also just be a, like, help manual in terms of, like, how to set up Sega Channel.
Yeah, so you can be the ultimate wad. I've never heard that in my life.
I haven't either! But somehow I recognize it as, like, yeah, that's a thing that a teenager in the 90s would have said.
I also like that one of the things for how it works is get proactive. Like, it sounds like you're going to be doing something like for a charity. Like, you're helping people out, but it's just called a second channel and get hooked in.
Get proactive is now used in office buildings.
get hooked in written text. It's cap, like, the get hooked in is the letters are capitalized, not the whole thing. But then their logo at the bottom is just somebody just hit the keys and just let their kid pick random sizes and fonts.
Oh, get proactive. Oh, I know. I see exactly what this is. Get proactive.
Tell your
is,
parents.
No.
Oh,
it's worse. Do you remember when Google Stadia? First of all, that's the whole sentence.
That's the sentence. Yes.
So one of the things before Google Stadia even came out and everyone looked at it and was like, this is going to be a hilariously massive failure. And one of the things that came up was like, hey, the like internet requirements on this are like incredibly steep.
Yeah.
And people are not going to be able to play this on the go because it looks like it takes like 20 gigs of data per hour.
Ooh.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
To play, and like most people's mobile plans allow them for like 5 a month. So like, how are people even gonna do that? And Google's response to that was, well, we think that the internet companies will see how successful Google Stadia is and will have no choice but to adapt to provide greater bandwidth to their users to accommodate our service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was literally like, oh, yeah, no, it's absolutely not going to work now, but it's okay because the cable companies
will change.
Yeah. So how this relates is Get Proactive says, call the Sega Channel hook line at 1-800-whatever. 1-800-696-SEGA.
Nice.
To find out how to contact your cable company. If you discover that your cable company doesn't carry Sega Channel, call, write, or walk into your local cable office and demand that they, once again, capital letters, get hooked in.
Yes, I'm sure that worked out well.
It seems to have gone swimmingly.
I
as evidenced by everyone's active Sega Channel subscription today in 2024.
I need you to also click on check us out. And then I want you to see that they have two things we're going to look at. One, the staff wrap and the cheater cheater. You can pick whichever one you like first.
I don't want to see the staff wrap.
I think you do.
No, I really don't. I'm upset.
Because the crew...
Okay, these are cheat codes. This is fine.
No, it is, but I love... It's so 90s, because do you see what it's like? No skills? Are you just shit at this game? Well, here's a passcode loser. like some of the way that they introduce the codes are so aggressive.
Yeah, that is... What is... Oh, God. What was the... There's a game I played recently... We're, you know what? It wasn't that recently, but I think we did Vector Man for the podcast.
Yeah,
Long time ago. I think that was one where the difficulty levels were like judging you as a person.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what they called them, but it was like, you know, the easy level was, you know, in so many words, it was something along the lines of, like, stupid bitch ass.
Yeah, thanks, Doom. Okay, that's enough. That's enough waybacking, I think.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's... Oh, boy. So the point is, I don't think anybody ever saw Wily Tower ever, which actually makes it... kind of a cool addition to the Switch service.
You know, somebody had the Sega Channel, they got it, and they were talking about it at school, and everyone was like, you're a liar.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, 100%.
That's just not true.
The kind of stuff where, like, someone's like, there's a secret. I have this. First of all, like, in the 90s, it's hard enough to explain to people what the internet is.
Yeah.
Like,
I have Genesis plugged in from a cable in the wall. Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, like, how would you even explain it at the time? I plugged the Genesis into my phone.
Yeah.
And then when I did that, I got a Mega Man game on my Genesis. And it has the first three Mega Man games, and then there's a secret part where you can make your own Mega Man.
And I have 2 weeks to play it, so I can't show it to you.
Right, yeah. it's like the steamed hams. Like, yeah. Can I see it?
No.
No.
So, like, no, it's real. It happened. Uh-huh.
The Sega Channel gaslit an entire generation of children.